The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is the number. Show. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. I was just watching some of the planes take off here from the airport, which is right next door here.
I didn't know there was an airport here.
Yeah, it's actually United flies here.
Really?
It's a 45-minute flight from Intercontinental to here. That's almost not worth it.
No. It's like a two-hour drive from there, maybe.
No,
maybe.
It's not even that. It's because it's only an hour 40 from downtown, so from Bush, it's probably got to be an hour most.
That's an odd.
Plus, you're doing all the crap where you have to wait in line to get on the plane and get off the plane, go through security. 45 minutes. Now, if you choose to take American, you have to fly to Dallas first.
Mm-hmm.
So your flight would be 3 hours and 23 minutes.
Yeah, that's dumb.
So I'm just going to say, if you live anywhere near Bush, you might as well just get the car.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it took me an hour, exactly an hour and 40 minutes from downtown today. And if I'm coming from Bush, I bet it's an hour tops.
Yeah.
So not to take business away from our friends at United or American, but.
But you hate those guys at United anyway.
I'm not a fan. I tell you what, I'm kind of down with Delta, although did you see what happened to them today?
I did not.
I
was too busy looking at Orlando Bloom's dong.
The entire, every Delta flight was grounded because they had an issue worldwide with the software.
Didn't that just happen to Southwest? It did happen to Southwest when I was flying.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was trying to get out to Vegas, and it was all messed up.
Well, apparently that just happened to Delta this morning, and I mean it was all over the world, and they finally got it going. And I it's one of those that when I wake up, there's always two or three news alerts from AP on my phone, and one of them is always something from the Middle East that, you know, something happened. But yeah, Delta Airlines. Yeah, the first one I saw was Delta Airlines may be able to get flights going again here in about half an hour.
Ugh.
So that had to suck. But, worldwide outage. Not just a North American outage, but worldwide.
What a pain in the ass.
I'd hate to be a Delta employee when something like that happened. But,
If you live in Houston, you shouldn't be driving. You don't need to drive to College Station. Or, I mean, you don't need to fly to College Station.
No.
Just drive.
I saw some, there's flights to Beaumont. Who would do that?
What the hell?
Yeah. I've flown to San Antonio before, and once I flew to Austin.
Yeah, but even then, doesn't it feel like kind of a waste?
It was a complete waste, and it was only because, I can't remember why, I think my car was actually in the shop when I did it to Austin once, and I had to be here for, you know, something journalism related. San Antonio was a weekend with the ex-wife or something like that, and she didn't want to drive, but what a waste. And even Dallas. Yeah, Paul says 80 miles from the Woodlands. So, yeah. Tyler says he lives 4 miles from the airport. Takes like an hour and 15 to get there.
Yeah, Barry texted me. He said it's an hour and a half, maybe an hour 15 from his house. He lives up there close to the airport, too. Hmm. Not like the crappy part close to the airport, but the
good part.
The high-rolling part.
Yeah, there's a high-rolling part close to the airport?
Yeah, Barry lives there.
It must be on the other. Well, I don't know. I've never seen it from the air.
Yeah. Barry, unemployed, still balling out of control.
No, he's not employed. He's a gainfully employed comedian.
No, that's true. That's true. His shower is bigger than my house. Hard times.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, people say the reality is you have them there so that if somebody's flying from Chicago, they can get, you know, it's a connecting flight. But there's a lot of them. You can just buy the flight from Houston to here.
Well.
So, anyway, I don't know why I get interested in these things, but I saw one of the planes take off, and it was pretty damn big, and I'm like, okay, that's got to be a bigger airport than I remember it being. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Ichiro finally got his 3,000th hit.
He did. Congratulations.
Are you celebrating that?
I mean, no, I don't really care. He's one of the few he's one of the baseball players I respect the most. You know, I'm not like a fan of a team necessarily where I'm, you know, excited for something like that to happen. But that dude's been doing it for a long time. I think he's very, very good at what he does. And I'm glad to see it happen. You know, he's still a pretty reasonably useful player. Most guys, when they get their 3,000th hit, they're hanging in there by a thread, Craig Biggio.
Yeah.
Like, Ichiro's still a pretty respectably
good
year. Major leaguer. Yeah,
he had a couple of down years there, but he's having a really good year.
Everyone says a couple down years. I sort of vote that it was one down year.
He had one really bad year and then one not so good year.
Okay.
So I'm going to call that a down year, too.
But it was still an above average major league season. I mean, not for him, obviously, but it wasn't like it's not like he was out there hitting .220 that year.
No, but he was well below his career averages, right. And wasn't and went through long stretches.
But I'm saying he hit .262 that year. That's a respectable major league season.
You're just used to seeing the Astros. You think that's respectable because that would be the second best average on the team.
It would be, but I'm just saying it's not like he was garbage. He was garbage last year, and it looked like. He probably – I didn't know if he was for sure going to get that 3,000th hit or if he was just going to have to hang around. But, hell, the dude's hitting .317 this year.
Yeah, he's having a hell of a year. And your boy A-Rod is going to last out the week.
I think that you know, I guess were we on the air when Teixeira did his announcement too?
I don't think so.
I think kind of kudos to both those guys who – they realize that in A-Rod's case anyway, he's a historically great baseball player. He's steroids, whatever you think of. I understand that there's people who aren't going to look at him that way.
I mean, they just automatically draw a line through him because they,
right.
Yeah, but
from a number standpoint, A-Rod's one of probably the five best hitters that has ever played baseball, and. He could have stuck around another year, milked some more money out of these guys. Which I mean, I guess he's going to milk some anyway, but it won't go to their payroll. But he just says, you know what? I think you realize, unlike Ichiro, I'm no longer an asset to this team on the field.
And it's weird because he was last year.
He was
even then, but this year he hasn't been. He's sitting .209.
Last year
he's
was
four
sort of,
homers shy of .700.
Last year was sort of a surprise year because 2013. He sucked, and then 2014 he didn't play because he was suspended the whole year. So if you sucked in 2013, and then you come back after missing your age 38 season, no one was expecting him to do anything in 2014. And I mean, he wasn't vintage A-Rod, but he hit 33 homers and hit .250, which you'll take, for sure you'll take. This year, just not been the same. He's barely above .200. It's a nightmare having that guy out there for the Yankees. So he did the best thing he could do for the team, which was to not play anymore. And
yeah.
So Friday, I guess, is going to be his last game. And then he's going to take a role inside the organization. But this is a guy, three MVPs, again, one of the best players ever. And it's I hate to see guys go out like this, like where it's so it gets so awful that they're almost forced to walk away. But at least he's realizing that he's not doing anybody any favors what he's doing right now.
I mean, all he'd be doing is hanging around trying to get four home runs to get to 700.
Yeah.
And the way he's going, I don't see him getting it before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, while 700 would have been a cool milestone to hit, if it's not, you know, if at the end of the day you don't have 763, does it matter if you have 696 or 700?
It's still a cool number. I mean, which I would have thought he would have gotten to a long time ago.
Yeah, you would have thought so. But he was never. I mean, he was never going to pass what Bonds did.
No, but again, it's just like anything else. 700 is more impressive than 696.
That's true.
I'm sorry. Get back to the Elway thing. Lamont says, in Elway's defense, it keeps coming up because the media keeps bringing it up, just like they do with Brock.
They bring it up to both of them. I don't understand.
Well,
that.
Okay, so just it's real easy to say, man, I've addressed that enough. Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
In both cases, that's kind of what it's kind of what Brock did today. By the way, did you see Orbit run over the chick?
I did. That was so great.
Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, I loved it.
I know I'm a little bit sick, but I love it when people get run over or hit with bowling balls or things like that, and it's on video. But I wonder if Orbit had to take a breathalyzer. Maybe Orbit needed to call Gary.
Well, he wasn't really driving, was he? He was kind of like riding along and throwing stuff while someone else drove him.
Yeah, but he's guiding that thing. He's telling him where to go.
Oh, you can't blame Orbit.
Oh, you got to blame Orbit for this.
You can't blame Orbit for this.
Because Orbit's not even out there if he's not throwing stuff around.
That's true, but he's not responsible for that.
I'm going to put it on Orbit because he scares me. And if you've ever had Orbit close to you at a baseball game, you need to wash that uniform a little more often.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not good?
Yeah.
I've had Orbit around a couple times. I actually text Orbit sometimes and have him come over and say hey to my kids.
Yeah.
And I've never caught a smelly Orbit.
Well, the last two times that he's been around us.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's not Orbit himself. It's at, well, dude, it's Houston in the summer.
Yeah, but it's
you're wearing
like
a big green suit. You better wash that thing.
You're in an air-conditioned place. Imagine what that horse in Arlington smells like.
No, I don't want to get anywhere near that.
That thing has got to be just atrocious.
I'm not even going to begin to think what that smells like. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And once again, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And school is about to start again. And that means it's time to help these kids out. These kids at Houston Can Academies are kids who dropped out of other schools. They get a second chance. And Houston Can Academies helps them to succeed. It gives them everything they need. And you can help. Doesn't matter where. You might be over in College Station today. Well, you know what? They'll come out here to College Station to get it. And your donations are needed now more than ever. Students are starting the new school year. Donate today, and you're going to be glad you did when tax time comes up. Don't trade it in. If you've got a vehicle, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, car, truck, tractor, airplane, and you're not using it anymore, well, they're going to come tow it free of charge. They take care of all the paperwork. It's fast. It's easy. You get the tax donation. You donate today. You also get Astros tickets. And it's your time to do a great thing. Get rid of something you don't need anymore and help kids out. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
I am explosive and volatile. I'm on the turn.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, as you heard, live here at Kyle Field. Looking here from the visitors' radio booth. They wouldn't let us in the home radio booth, but that's okay. Jason Cook joins us. He's Senior Associate Athletics Director for External Affairs for A&M University. And that sounds almost like an ominous title, Jason. It sounds like you're almost in charge of everything with that. What is it specifically that you're focused on right now?
Well, I have to deal with you guys. That's what it is.
That's a heavy problem.
Radio, media, marketing, broadcasting, essentially everything that touches with the public. And what a great story that we have to tell here at Texas A&M right now. Obviously, we're getting ready for football. It's going to be a pretty exciting season. I know you had a chance to visit with Coach Sumlin earlier today, but just anything and everything related to Texas A&M athletics.
We were talking about how much this stadium has changed over the last few years with the expansion. What is the actual number that you can get to now in attendance?
Well, actually, seating is 102,733, and so that's the largest stadium in the state of Texas, and then also in the SEC as well. But one of the neat things about Kyle Field, yes, it's been redone nearly $500 million, but it's still the home of the 12th man. And last week, we sold out a record 34,200 students. Going to be here at Kyle Field on September 3rd against UCLA. And there's not another school that's going to pull that many students into a stadium. And, you know, you're looking out at the stadium right now at the field, and right below us, 40, 50-yard line, we've got students yelling their heads out as part of the 12th man.
You were a big part of the transition to the SEC. And in retrospect, has that worked out better than you thought it would, even as far as where you guys are right now is in all sports?
You know, we probably couldn't have written it any better. And obviously the first year, having Kevin Sumlin come in, having the Johnny Football phenomenon happening, we called it a perfect storm. But even now, as we're entering our fifth year, we've been competitive across all sports. We were the only SEC school to have our football, men's basketball, and baseball teams advance to their respective postseasons this year. All of our teams across the board advance to the postseason. So we're competitive. But you know what? When you're talking conference realignment, there's a bigger discussion that happens at the university level. It's not just about wins and losses. And I know that, you know, that's a hot topic there in Houston as well.
When that first season happened, the Johnny Football sort of welcoming, the coming out party, it sort of did it set, in your opinion, maybe an unrealistic expectation for what a transition to the SEC was going to be like for A&M football? Because we've seen some regression since, obviously, and everyone thought that it would take a while for them, because when A&M left the Big 12, they weren't incredibly competitive in the Big 12, so everyone assumed it would be sort of a slow process. But Johnny Football just set, to me, an unrealistic expectation for how quickly the transition should have come.
You know, we always called the decade before our move to the SEC that we kind of wandered in the wilderness for a while. And, you know, that was a big knock against Texas A&M moving into the SEC. Everybody was telling us, you know, you're going to get your heads beat in. You're coming off a 6-6 season. How can you go into the toughest football league in the country? And Johnny, you know, as each year goes by, you really have a greater appreciation of once-in-a-lifetime talent that he actually was. But, you know, going back to our decision to move to the SEC, we never talked wins and losses. We never said, hey, first year we're projecting this, second year projecting that. That was never part of the discussion. It really related to how can we increase the visibility for Texas A&M. How could we kind of supercharge donations, fundraising? We knew we had to do something to Kyle Field. And then finally, we were looking for stability at the end of the day. And so we weren't measuring our success in wins and losses. But if you look at where we are right now, you want to be building. And I think that that's what Coach Sumlin has done is, yes, 2012, that was that perfect storm moment. But where are we today, and are we improving? Are we building?
From a branding standpoint, how much difference does it make being in the SEC versus what it was in the Big 12? It seems like, at least to me, it seems like you guys have – it's an easier product to sell now.
Well, it's the League of Champions. It's a lot of research that's been out there says that the SEC is the brand in college sports, even greater than ESPN, believe it or not. And so that that opportunity to tell a prospective student athlete that, hey, you're going to be able to play in the SEC, the only school in the state of Texas that offers that opportunity. You're going to play on national television each and every week. That is significant. And then also, just from a regular student standpoint, we're hearing a lot of students in high school saying that they want that SEC experience, where everything in the fall kind of comes together and you're playing big-time football in the biggest stadiums, on the biggest networks around the country. Students, whether you're a chemistry major or an economics major, they're looking for that experience as well, and it's been quite surprising for us.
You've been here since, well, at least with the athletic department, since 2003. So you were here for the heydays of the Texas-Texas A&M rivalry. And to me, that is something that's greatly missed by Texas A&M going to the SEC, is that game being played every year. Do you think that it's getting any closer to where those two schools will play each other again? And did it? I assume Texas, people at Texas and people here see the value of that game in some way. Do you think they'll ever get back to where they can play that game every year?
Well, the only people who ever ask about is you guys, the media. I think you guys
want it. Oh, fans ask about that all the time. They want it.
Well, you look at – it's going to be some time. Some time is going to have to pass. But if you're looking across the board, we're starting to play Texas in a lot of other sports. So we played them in baseball. We played them in men's basketball. We played them in some women's basketball. So you're starting to see them on the schedule more and more. And I think there's a tremendous amount of respect for Texas, not only from an athletic standpoint, but as a fellow higher education institution here. So it's going to come at some point, but you have to be strategic and thoughtful on how you're going to do that. Because here you are, you're playing in the SEC West. There's no gimmies there. You're playing a team from the East. And then how does that balance, your cross-country games? We've got UCLA coming here September 3rd. We've got Clemson on the schedule. We've got Notre Dame on the schedule. We've got Colorado on the schedule in the future. So it's going to take some time to figure that out.
One of the big things, and you guys have done great with fundraising, obviously, for just looking at this building, little worried at all about oil prices being where they are. Has that affected you guys much in fundraising at all?
You know what? It's been interesting that we haven't had a single donor who had a suite, for example, walk away from their commitment because of oil prices. And that says a lot to the Aggie Network and the commitment that we have. But obviously, being so close to Houston, and Houston's such an important market for us as Texas A&M, we realize that some of our folks are hurting right now with the economy, but their commitment to A&M hasn't changed in A&M football, and they're investing heavily. I mean, they want to see Texas A&M compete at the highest levels, and that commitment hasn't wavered.
Something that going back to like 2014, when the schedule, the non-conference schedule for Texas A&M was very, very weak, no Power 5 conferences opponents. How important was it for you guys to get back to that? Because, I mean, we've seen it happen in the Big 12 where teams are getting left out because they're not trying to, go hit heads outside of conference. How important was it for A&M to get Arizona State last year and UCLA and get back to playing big-time non-conference games?
You know, what killed us was Arkansas. We were playing that game up in Dallas, the Southwest Classic, every year, and that was going to be a marquee game each and every year to kind of bridge the SEC old Southwest Conference ties. And when Arkansas became a conference opponent, then all of a sudden we had to scramble.
Right.
We just had to get someone on the schedule. And, you look at where the BCS was going, and with the advent of the college football playoff, we knew that we had to do something from a schedule perspective. And you look, last year we were the only SEC school to play a Pac-12 team in the regular season, in Arizona State opening up. Doing the same with UCLA this year. It's important to not only in terms of what percentage points you're going to get in the CFP, but also I think it's good for college football. I mean, we all love to watch, Notre Dame and Southern Cal play. We like to see, Alabama playing some of their historic opponents and things like that. So I think we're going to see more and more of it as the years progress, because it's important for postseason, but also it's something that the fans are clamoring for.
Yeah, I mean, to get UCLA in this building, or Clemson like you guys are going to have in a couple of years, that's a big sort of selling point, in my opinion, right?
Well, you want them here, and you think about the opportunity to go play in the Rose Bowl, too.
Right.
I mean, that's no a question. pretty neat opportunity.
Yeah. Do you think expanding the playoff to 8 teams would create even more of those matchups? Because they're high profile and you need them to get in that playoff, but also losing one of those would be less punitive in that situation versus if you have 8 teams versus 4. Do you think that would make a difference?
You know, I've always been personally a big proponent of the regular season. And, that's something that makes college football special, and particularly in the SEC, every game matters. And I think it's too soon in terms of a 4-team playoff to really start talking about, well, let's go to 8, because the minute you go to 8, then all of a sudden, what's the conversation going to be? Let's go to 16 as part of that. So I think that you have to be really careful, because, we've got something special here in college football. It's different. It's a different product than the NFL and what you guys see with the Texans. So I don't think that there's any movement there. But obviously the pressure has been put. Hey, let's upgrade those non-conference schedules.
Well, and it's also hard when you see how much money those playoff games make to not think, if we had a couple more, everybody makes a little more money.
You make more, but the more you make, the more you spend. So it goes in and in.
Jason, we appreciate the time, and good luck with the season. And tell you what, man, absolutely love this this facility, what you guys have done here.
Great. We look to having you guys back here very often.
Well, and glad to have you guys on the station, so you'll be able to hear every game on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my computer career. If it's another day at the job you hate, God forbid you're working out in this heat, which I'm sure is unbearable, and you're probably not making that much money, ask yourself how many guys you know working in the IT industry that aren't making that money. Plus, they got air conditioning. You want that. There's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest-growing industries in the country. Place you need to go to get those skills, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros, particularly in Houston, one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. And My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. But you've got to have these skills and certifications. And that's where mycomputercareer.edu comes in. And I know what you're thinking. Going back to school is going to take a long time. It's going to cost a lot of money. Not at My Computer Career. In and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid is available, including the GI Bill. Check them out online, mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. And it's the first step to changing your life and making more money. You've got nothing to lose with this thing. MyComputerCareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. I agree with what 281 said. No one will be clamoring for a 16-team playoff.
I don't think so.
I think 8 is a number that they'll be discussed.
I'm perfectly happy with 4, though.
I'm okay with it for now, but I do think if it means, if it means you get better matchups like that.
Yeah, but there
and I think it will. I mean, it's already gotten better, but if you know you can lose one of those games and still get there, then we're going to see more of those games, and they'll be important.
I think the time when people will really crank up the we need more than 4 is when a team with a legitimate shot to win a championship gets left out. And it hasn't happened yet.
No, it really hasn't.
And everybody, people will say Baylor, TCU, but that they weren't. I mean, they were a distant 4th and 5th. I mean, to what was it?
It's hard to say. I'm not so sure in retrospect they didn't belong in over, say, Florida State, but because Ohio State was so dominant that it's hard to really say that they'd had a chance.
Right.
But
I think what we're seeing more now is finding 4 teams that are worthy. You know, because when you look at, like, the top 2 teams and you say, we need to find the 2 teams that even belong in the playoff with these guys, I think is becoming more of the challenge.
Yeah, and, well, I thought it was a pretty clear-cut 4 last year, but there was also a pretty big gap between the top teams. But that happens a lot of years anyway when you have 2, when it looks on paper like it's going to be a great matchup and it winds up being awful. And I think part of the problem, too, is not just that. It's that you have a month between games, and it's really not the same as – what you do all season long, and it never will be. That's how the way the bowl system is. That's the way the playoff system is. And by the finals, you're playing back-to-back weeks, so you tend to see a little more honest performance there. But a lot of times, some coaches, you give them a month to prepare, they're going to destroy you. And sometimes teams start losing interest because, I got to start looking at where I might go in the draft. Maybe I'm not going to kill myself in this playoff game, just like I wouldn't in a bowl. And it is kind of different from everything else you see during the season. But did you see these Russians, man? Apparently, the entire Russian Paralympic team has been banned from the 2016 Rio Olympics.
Why do they need to be there?
Well,
I guess that's not the point. Why are they banned, first of all?
Well, apparently they're unable to ensure compliance with and enforcement of the IPC anti-doping code and the World Anti-Doping Code within their own national jurisdiction, and so they cannot fulfill its fundamental obligation as an IPC member. basically, the Paralympic Committee is taking a bigger stand against the Russians than the Olympic Committee does. I gotta say, who bans Paralympians? I mean,
it seems odd.
Isn't that kind of a nice thing they do for people who have issues that, you know, I mean, they tack it on at the end of the Olympics. Excuse me. We tack it on to the end of the Olympics, and it's a nice thing for them. Why are you keeping the Russians out? I don't know, man. It seems wrong to me. It feels wrong. Am I being too sensitive?
I don't really care. I feel like everyone should be banned. But
no, I feel like everybody should be allowed to compete. I don't care what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just don't get caught. So.
I don't want these cheaters there anyway, Fred. Mm. Everybody's a cheater.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to text the show. And don't know if you've seen this, but Carson Wentz seems to be ahead of Jared Goff in the early battles among rookie quarterbacks. Goff having a little trouble, obviously, but Wentz apparently is doing pretty well in Philadelphia.
That's surprising to me also, because I feel like Philadelphia is in, I would think they'd be in less of a hurry to get him out there. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, because they're already paying a guy a bunch of money.
Yeah. So they've got a guy that they're.
And really, they've got two guys that could. I mean, I could see Chase Daniel starting and not sucking.
I mean, you could do worse for sure. But when you've already got Bradford out there and Chase Daniel, you think, oh, yeah, it makes some sense to let Carson Wentz ease in.
Yeah.
Whereas the Rams have Case Keenum. You can't feel good about that. If I were the Rams, I'd want to get our guy out there as soon as possible and start trying to do something with him. But Sean Mannion, I guess, is out there. There's no good answer in L.A. I mean, not that Sam Bradford's great, but you're paying him already.
Yeah.
And he's at least an average to slightly below average NFL quarterback. The Rams don't have
slightly
that.
Below average. Yeah.
The Rams don't even have that, though.
Right, right.
They don't. I mean, no offense, and I know Case Keenum fan is going to keep. They're never going to give this up, but Case Keenum shouldn't be a starting NFL quarterback. And if he is, you're in terrible shape, which the Rams currently are.
Yeah, but he is. I say he's a pretty good backup. He's developed.
Oh yeah,
a much
yeah,
better
yeah.
Backup than I ever would have thought. And hey, if you were the Cowboys, you'd be a great backup to have. But if he's your starter, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. The guy that I thought when he was drafted would be most ready to go out and play right away. I mean, he wasn't going to be great. Was Connor Cook, and he's at a team where he's not going to need to, unless something really bad happens.
Yeah.
But you know, some guys are more NFL ready. It doesn't mean they're going to be better players. I wouldn't take him over Paxton Lynch, for instance. You know, 3 years from now, or even 2 years from now. But you know, apparently he's doing real well in Oakland, though. So a couple people asking, where is Rock the Mic going to be this Friday? Have we determined that, John?
We have. I asked John earlier about this today.
Ah.
It's at a Wingstop on Beechnut is the spot. I don't have an exact address because John just told me Wingstop on Beechnut. But that's where the Rock the Mic round, or I guess the third qualifying round is.
Okay. Wingstop on Beechnut.
AD just said, have we been there, which means they haven't tested the line, so Lord knows how this is going to go.
Yeah.
I heard it. I heard that.
You do realize behind-the-scenes talk gets put out on the scenes, right? Hey, that's just a natural thing. Anyway. All right, we'll do a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day when we return.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Attorney Gary Trichter Law Enforcement. They're stepping up their efforts with these no-refusal weekends. They can force you to take a breath or a blood test. If you fail those tests, if you're accused of DWI, even if you fail those tests, don't give up hope. Remember, breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and destroy the evidence that it checked, making recheck and improving your innocence impossible. juries are smart enough to notice the problems with these machines. Same with the blood tests. They're smart enough to notice that, oh, it's not testing your actual blood. It's testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state, and he's right here in Houston. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. Never know when you might need it. 713-524-1010 or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know, I think that sun went down a little bit. It actually got to be less than 100 degrees in here. But
not going to happen, Fred.
No, I know. But, hey, HD Show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring, located on Luetta. Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Combine and turn Monday into Funday with the HD Show.
That's a good value on wing price.
That is.
30 cents a wing.
Yeah, that's really good value. And on the other stuff, it's just I have too many other Fundays. I can't be adding Monday to the list.
Unfortunately, I can't drink right now, and I can't eat wings right now. But maybe when after this fight, maybe that's a good place to go. 30-cent wings.
Yeah.
I could do some damage there.
Well, I did a lot of both this weekend. We had friends from out of town, so it was we pretty much went at it all weekend. Played poker yesterday afternoon, just had a blast. So, speaking of blasts, let's do our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, there's a gentleman named Leroy Blast Bill Black. He was much loved in today's press.
Leroy Blast Bill Black?
That was his name. Blast was his nickname. Leroy Bill Black.
Okay.
Known as Blast.
Okay, okay.
Apparently in the Atlantic City paper, it looked like a mistake on the obituary page, as there were two identical-looking listings appearing one on top of another. However, they were different because one was placed by his wife and the other by his girlfriend.
Oh, good times.
Black died at home Tuesday of lung cancer at the age of 55.
At his wife's home?
I don't know. It says, depending on which one you are reading, he was survived by his loving wife, Beretta Harrison Black, or his longtime girlfriend, Princess Hall. Competing obituaries were put in the newspaper separately because the wife wanted it one way and the girlfriend wanted it another way. And I'm, you know, it's hard enough to get women to agree on things that don't involve.
Boy.
Yeah. So, anyway, the first one mentions the wife and son along with two other children. The second mentions a girlfriend and a host of siblings as surviving family. So the girlfriend didn't even mention the kids, but, anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem.
They weren't her kids.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
The other one I was going to do, but there's just not a lot of detail on it, was a reporter tweeted that an Olympic kayaker on a practice run capsized after hitting a sofa.
What?
There was a sofa in the water there. That's your Olympic update of the day. But, yeah, so it's not just the Zika that can get you. So, John, are we going to be able to get David Barron on at some point and find out what the hell's going on there?
I'll talk to him for tomorrow.
Okay. Although, maybe we want to wait until gymnastics is over because he's so – or it's a day where there's not gymnastics because he freaking loves gymnastics. Some of the stuff he tweets out from gymnastics, it's almost offensive. So – anyway,
do you consider David Barron to be an expert on gymnastics?
Yeah, he knows his stuff, man. He's been covering this for I don't know how many Olympics now.
I don't know anybody who I can consider an expert on gymnastics.
I would say
Did he participate in gymnastics at a young age?
No, he did not participate in gymnastics at a young age. But you know how it is. When you study something long enough, it's like gambling. You study it long enough, you better get good at it.
Yeah.
He's had to cover this. He's covered every Olympic that I can remember since I was in charge way back when.
But is he an expert on every Olympic sport? Like, is he
he's really good on gymnastics. He's into the stuff that I hate, like gymnastics.
The stuff that people watch then.
Yeah, figure skating. Well, he's a TV guy, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. But swimming, pretty big on that.
I mean, does anybody else? Swimming, gymnastics, that's all people really care. And basketball, that's all people really care about in the Olympics, right?
Well, US track people. And field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a pretty good track and field. So, but yeah, he knows his stuff. It's the kind of thing that it's like with figure skating. It's more than I want to know about it.
I got so frustrated watching the boxing. Like, the boxing scoring is very strange, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. I'm having a hard time enjoying it. I don't know why. I feel like I should, but it's just not fun for me. I saw that a USA boxer beat the number 2 seed today. Big upset.
Well,
so got a spot in the quarterfinals. So that's good.
Good job, Merca.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want the Americans to win everything.
I do too. But, yeah. Are you sure you do? Like, because Canada sucks in the Summer Olympics, huh? You only cheer for them in the
apparently,
winter time.
Apparently, they kicked the men's ass in volleyball yesterday, as I heard about that.
What?
And the U.S. men's team is supposed to be better than them.
How's that?
I think they're like second in the U.S. like second in the world, and Canada trounced them.
We can't let that happen.
No, I know we can't let that happen. That's an embarrassment to God and everybody.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and I may be wrong about this. I think the first games David covered was Barcelona in '92.
I remember it like I was 12.
And then every game.
I guess I would have been 11 when the Olympics started.
I'm pretty sure he's been to every game since then. So that's a lot, winter and summer. So by then, you ought to learn about those little bouncing gymnasts. I need to find the tweet that from him here that just kind of I thought might be a bit much. Yeah, here it is. This was from an hour ago. It says, Leyva just came off high bar on his simplest release move, so it's over for USA men's gymnastics. Wow, Lewis Smith just came off pommel horse. Shocking. That will seriously wound the British.
So if you fall off, you lose?
Apparently, you want to stay on your pommel horse.
Okay.
Especially if you're British. That's about all I know.
He says Russia and Japan on the floor, probably for gold. I got to be honest. I can't imagine he enjoys that.
Oh, no, he gets into it.
Like, I feel like he probably likes having an all-expense-paid trip to the Olympics every 4 years. But he can't possibly enjoy covering men's gymnastics.
No, I think he does. I think
if he does, he's just a weird dude.
Well, I'm not saying he's not, but he used to, and it's funny. We get him on. I'll ask him about this. I bet he's having more fun covering this by himself, where he can go cover whatever he wants.
Like, do you think he likes this more than football?
No, I don't think he likes it more than football, but I think he's gotten into it, and he cares about it, which is good. That's what you want, is somebody who cares about it.
Yeah.
But when we were doing this in the early 90s and mid-90s in Atlanta and all that, we had so many people there covering it that they were fighting over what to cover. I guarantee you he likes us a lot better.
Where he's the only one he can pick and choose.
Yeah. And you know what he's picking? Men's gymnastics.
I guess so. Well, he's probably picking that because that's what people want to hear. All right, I mean, that's what people care about. That goes to the broader audience.
I kind of like the kayak crashing into a sofa a lot more. If you can get me more of that, that's what I'm interested in. That, bike chick crashing, French leg exploding. I like those kind of things. That to me, the story behind the stories are what makes it interesting.
Disco says people like the diving in the Olympics. I think that's secondary. I think diving is... Yeah.
When I was growing up, Greg Louganis was a big thing, and people liked him.
Right. And then Laura Wilkinson won. She was from Houston.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my cousin's best friends.
Really?
So I knew her growing up. She won it, but she wasn't supposed to win. She was like a big surprise
to win.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she was a little bit of an upset, at least the first time when she went.
Can you name another U.S. diver besides those two? No. So nobody cares about that. All right, guys, you know what you do care about? Care about booze and treating your booze right. And I've been telling you guys for a while about Deep South Barrels, and they've got those miniature oak barrels that help age your booze. In less than 30 days, you can improve the quality tenfold. It's an amazing thing. But Deep South Barrels is bringing you another experience now. Nothing goes better than scotch with scotch than a nice cigar. And Deep South Barrels is allowing you to take the same concept of aging your spirits. And now you can add a new wrinkle to your cigar collection by infusing your favorite bourbon, scotch, or whiskey into your cigars. Go to deepsouthbarrels.com. Check out the cigar infusion barrel. Use my promo code Hoffman when you order. You'll get 10% off your entire order. If you're not into the cigars, you just want to stick with the booze, you can do that as well. That promo code Hoffman will save you 10% every time. Age your spirits and your cigars to perfection with Deep South Barrels. Remember, they're in Pearland. They're shopping local when you shop with these guys. Check them out online at deepsouthbarrels.com. And don't forget that promo code Hoffman. Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com. Sports.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.